Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is episode 14-10 on this 16th day of March. Welcome, patriots, preppers, redoubters, partisans. Great to have you with us. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am John Jacob Schmidt. Oh, wow. There is so much we're going to be covering tonight, but we are not going to make it a two-hour show like we did last week. We had a lot to cover last week as well. Plus, I was making up for the hiatus that I had from some technical difficulties from the week before. So let's see here. What do we want to do? Well, I want to thank you guys all, first of all, for tuning in all across the American Redoubt, the Appalachian Redoubt, whatever other conservative patriot redoubt you might be listening to, and all of you that are outside the free zones in occupied America. God bless you guys. Have hope. There are places that you can go to where other God-fearing, liberty-minded people are awaiting your arrival. Some of you, you just got to dig down where you are and weather the storm that's coming. But in the meantime, we have to stay vigilant. We have to encourage and edify one another, and we have to be prepared mentally, physically, spiritually, and logistically. So that's what this is all about. We want to help you stay informed. We want to inspire you and encourage you. And also we want to call for unification among all like-minded patriots that are concerned about the direction that our country's headed. Let's see. Tonight we are going to do a few things here. We are going to have a drawing, and we will be giving away a dual band ham radio. And this is from it is a Baofeng UV5R, not the 5R Plus. We're kind of steering away from the 5R Plus because for a little bit more money, you're not getting anything else in the way of performance. It's the same software. It's the same electronics. Everything's the same except for the faceplate. So we are going to be giving away a Baofeng UV5R. And, of course, that is the it's going to be an opportunity for you to get your hands on and use the official two-way radio that Ukrainian military forces use, as we've seen in a lot of pictures circulating across the internet. It's kind of cool. Now, why are we giving away a Baofeng radio? Well, because we had a contest, or not a contest, we had a practical exercise last week, and most of you missed it. So we are going to reward those who were paying attention and applying what we've been talking about all along. We played an old nostalgic song by Pat Boone. And that was My Country Tis of Thee. And what a great message in that song. Don't you agree, those of you who were paying attention? So we are going to be giving that away in the last segment, the third segment. And I'll fill you in more of those details. So somebody tonight is going to be winning a Baofeng UV5 dual band ham radio. Good job. Now, in the next segment coming up, we are going to be interviewing a couple who've had some confrontations with the Border Patrol. We're seeing the rise of the police state, the arrogance of the federalism and the federal law enforcement forces who have absolutely no regard for private property and the sovereignty of land ownership and trample wherever they want, whenever they want, and then threaten you if you question them. And that really happened. And that really happened in the American Redoubt. And so our question is, will our elected officials, who seem very conservative and very much patriotic, will they rise to the occasion? We're hoping so. It looks like they might. but probably not without some prompting and keeping the pressure on them, which is unfortunate. But we'll be talking about that in the next segment, because we are going to have this couple from Port Hill, Idaho, right up by the Canadian border. Don't forget, too, for those of you who are dedicated or see the need for communications, and those of you who are dedicated being communicators, to make sure that we can all stay connected in a grid-down situation. You can learn more about what people are doing to stay comms up and how you can get involved as well. If you feel that calling, you can go to www.amron.com. That's A-M-R-R-O-N. That's the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, which has gone nationwide in the last year. Those of you who are joining the American Redoubt Network and becoming AMRON operators, deciding to take your membership up a notch, it's free, it's anonymous, and it's easy to do, and actually easier now than ever, because we basically, thanks to codename Polly01, she developed a set of fields that you can just fill in the blanks, click, hit send, and mail it off, and then that comes right in. So it should shorten our processing time. But please still give us about 2 to 3 days to get you processed for new members. Great to have you guys all aboard. And of course, you can also follow us, even though we try to keep fresh content up several times a week on RadioFreeRedoubt.com. You can also visit us at Facebook.com/RadioFreeRedoubt. And then, of course, we're also on Twitter. Welcome all the new members, by the way. Okay, since we have so much to cover, let's get right into the news. News and Commentary, which is sponsored by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. You can learn more about that and the novel, the continuing saga of the collapse in America and the rebuilding afterward, by going to 299days.com. Okay, first in the news, psychologists to be stationed along the Boston Marathon route. For the first time ever this year, psychologists will be stationed along the Boston Marathon route to talk with people who may feel emotionally overwhelmed. Okay, on to real news. As the West threatens to ratchet up sanctions if Russia doesn't back down from annexing Crimea, Russia has deployed about 60,000 troops now. Things are heating up along the Ukrainian border. And the Russian state media said that Crimeans voted overwhelmingly to break ties with Ukraine and to join Russia. With over half the votes counted, over 95% had chosen the option to be annexed by Russia. And after the polls were closed, they said that turnout was at about 83%. That's a huge turnout. So a lot of things are happening. Borders are shifting. And it looks like Crimea joining Russia isn't good enough. With 60,000 troops lined up, looks like they're about ready to cross the border. And so there's a lot of saber rattling. There's a lot of threats going back and forth between the East and the West, between Russia and NATO and the United States. We're going to see how all that plays out. But there are so many different ways that that could end up financially. It could lead to, you know, the financial nuclear bomb that it could just expedite what is already coming, and that is an economic collapse. So I strongly recommend you keep your preps going, and I would also recommend that you try to position yourself logistically so that you can take care of your family for an extended period of time. So you will not have to check into a FEMA relief center for you and your family, leaving your guns to be thrown into an amnesty barrel before going in and lining up. And you have to, obviously, you're going to have to leave your birthright at the door so you can line up and get your bowl of soup. And then shame on you. If you are a patriot and not self-reliant, you've got problems. If you are a prepper and you're not a patriot, you need to change your ways. We need patriots for the rebuilding afterward and for the response that's going to be necessary for us to be able to preserve our values. And you can't do that if you're staring at your children as they're starving to death. All right. And so patriots become self-reliant, super important, very uncertain times. The United States, also over there, the United States decided to start flying some drones, apparently, because there is a drone that was just shot down and captured. I don't know if it was shot down, actually. Somehow, some way, a drone went down. I'm not sure if it was electronically or if it was some type of conventional weapon, but they have the thing pretty much intact. Its markers, identification numbers are UAV, Mike Quebec, -5 Bravo, and that apparently belonged to the 66th American Reconnaissance Brigade based in Bavaria. So that's going to be very interesting to see what type of response the Russians might have for the United States offering not just moral support now, but material support with intelligence gathering. That could really heat things up over there. Speaking of things heating up over there, Inspire magazine, the Al-Qaeda magazine, claims that they're setting to attack American cities and American interests abroad. Of course, that's not a big news flash, but we also have, 777 missing? That's a pretty big bomb that nobody knows where it is. That can carry quite a payload. We have no idea what their intentions are, whoever has that plane. And that's assuming it's not at the bottom of the ocean somewhere. And it's not looking like that is the most probable scenario. We'll see. We got enough problems in our own country, though. Well, a part of what used to be the United States, in the People's Democratic Republic of California, the ATF, they wanted their hands on 80%, that means unfinished lower receivers for some AR-15s. They're claiming that they were not produced properly. Now, this is a very interesting situation. You know that a completed lower receiver for an AR-15 is considered a weapon because that is the portion that has the serial number to the weapon on it. And that requires Form 4473 paperwork to be filled out according to the ATF to be able to transfer ownership of that. Well, if the lower receiver milled out of aluminum is only brought up to 80%, in other words, it's not quite complete. It's only 80% complete. It still has a lot more to be drilled out and milled out and tapped and so on. Well, there is a growing industry of selling 80% receivers. And that means you can finish drilling it out yourself and you can complete the firearm legally on your own by finishing the rest of the milling that needs to be done. And, of course, that does not require paperwork. It only requires paperwork if you're transferring a firearm. Of course, in the People's Democratic Republic of California, the rules are a little bit different because that is a honest fast track to being a Orwellian police state there. Everything's controlled. Well, anyway, let's move on with the story. They want their hands on all of these 80% lowers because they're claiming, when I say they, ATF, they walk into this store, Ares Armor, and they said, we want all of these lower receivers, and we want the customer lists of everyone you've sold one of these to. Well, the owner of the store, former Marine, says, it's not going to happen. I'm not giving you the names of the list of names of my customers because that is a privacy issue and that would be a breach. They're saying, we're going to get them anyway. Well, the reason why they want these so bad, apparently if you bring it up to a certain level, the lower receiver, it's legal. But what they're claiming, the ATF is claiming, that these were brought past the 80% point, and then the manufacturer did something to them to bring them back below 80%. So they're saying once they produce this and milled or drilled, did something, I'm not sure what the particulars are, when they bring it up just past 80% being complete, and then, I don't know, replug something or whatever they did to bring it back to less than 80%. Once they cross the line, the ATF considers that a firearm, even if they undo whatever it was that they did. Well, that's just between the ATF and that manufacturer. They're going to confiscate all these parts, okay? That's one issue. The big issue, they want the names of everyone that he sold them to, and he says, nope, not going to happen. Okay, so what we have here is a measuring contest between two groups standing nose to nose, and both of them claim they're not going to budge. Well, ATF says, we'll be back. And in the meantime, the store owner, the business owner, goes to the court and gets a restraining order to hold off on any further ATF action so that they can go and they can get this mitigated in court. They can take care of this. And they had the 20th, March 20th, to go in there and litigate the issue and get everything resolved. So this was supposed to just be a restraining order to stop everything from happening so they could argue you can't take the names of our customers. It's a breach of PERSEC. Okay, it's a privacy issue. So what's the ATF do? They go over this weekend, yesterday, and they raid the place with a warrant. Okay, it's called the ex parte warrant. And so that means that they can just go in there without having to notify the third party, which is the group that they're raiding. And they took everything. Computers, they wanted the list. They've got all that stuff. This is a police state situation. They raided an American citizen's business for something that was legal. And they also had a court stay. They had a restraining order to hold off on any action. So it's going to be real interesting to see how this all turns out. But this is pure police state Stasi NKVD tactics. Well, there's some people that are very angry about this. Now, part of me says, what the heck are you doing living in California if you still cherish freedom? But there are some people that are there, and they're in the middle of their exit strategy right now. And I got a letter from one of them. Hi, John. I'm sure you have heard about EP Armory and Ares Armor raids. Yes, I have. I live about an hour away from EP Armory and have purchased some of their plastic blocks. Oh, yeah, some of their lower receivers. This is what's in question. These ones are made of, they're like a polymer. I have yet to do any work on them. I bought these at the prompting on Survival Blog. Maybe we shouldn't have said that. Now we're going to implicate Survival Blog. Darn it. Okay, a while back, they're going to blame everybody. They're going to point fingers at everyone. Anyway, a while back, just to have for the future, as a productive resident of California over 54 years and a past law enforcement officer, the line has been drawn for me. I have never been knowingly in violation of any laws or any criminal activity until now. I will not surrender or register these blocks of plastic. Good for you, because the state has changed its laws. And yeah, there's some of that going on. There's a lot to this story. So he says, we have sold our house and bought land in Montana. I hope to see you very soon. Well, sir, I hope to see you as well. And I commend you for taking a stand, for voting with your feet, and leaving that socialist utopia behind. You know what's interesting is that there was a local news agency that covered that story. And they said, the gal that was on location did a very fair and objective story. She just laid out the facts. But in closing, let's do propaganda alert. So listen to these weasel words that the lady back at the news studio says to close this out. I'm sure this woman didn't even think of this. This comes from your senior editor. This comes from the producer. They want to make sure that they put a nice little cap on this story. And this is what they leave the listeners with.
If the two groups don't come to some sort of compromise, they will be in court for a preliminary hearing on the 20th. That's the very latest here, Jen. We'll send it back to you.
Interesting story. Certainly privacy versus safety concerns. Armisha DeBona for us tonight. Thank you.
Listen to that. Privacy, very interesting story. Safety versus privacy issues. There's no safety issue here. It's a privacy issue. These guys are doing a raid. They want to get the customers' names. This guy says no, because that's not right. The government has changed the law. They're rewriting it. We want to go to the court to make sure this is legal, to stop this process and have a judge intervene. And that's it. There is no safety issue. It's a privacy issue versus whether or not this lower receiver does or does not comply with some illegal, unconstitutional law. There's no safety involved, but they throw that in there, don't they? So it leaves the viewer of this news station, wow, safety versus privacy. Well, what's more important? Obviously, safety, right? I mean, we can't sacrifice safety just for somebody's privacy. I get so mad. Oh, these weasels. Okay, what else is going on? There's a lot going on. The world's falling apart here. More sovereignty votes. A Sunday referendum may see Venice elect to secede from Italy. People are going to vote on this. And the same thing's happening in Scotland. We've got all these parts of these countries seceding, breaking off. Everything's breaking apart. The 2015 general election will be thrown into turmoil if Scotland votes for independence in September's referendum, according to government legal advice. An election is scheduled to be held on May 7th next year, but by then, Scotland could already be preparing to separate from the rest of the United Kingdom. Very interesting, this trend that's happening all over the place where these countries are fragmenting. But we're probably, because we're Americans, we're special. Our country will never fragment. We'll always be, you know, one giant, big, happy hand-holding, skipping through the tulips together, diverse, you know, North American continent. It's going to be great. Everyone else will be breaking apart, but not us. Better be planning. Better be planning for it, because it's just the way things go. It's what the history books show. Hey, we do have some people fighting for liberty in the American Redoubt. HB 2789, otherwise known as the Drone Bill, passed the Senate by a vote of 46-1 in Washington State. Can you believe that? It passed the House 83-15, and this is a huge victory for privacy protections for Washington State citizens, but it also is a great trend setter for the rest of the American Redoubt. And it's what our elected officials in the rest of the American Redoubt need to be looking at. This, what these guys are doing, is a great thing. This is coming from the Freedom Agenda, Washington Freedom Agenda. Matt Shea, David Taylor, those guys are just, they're just incredible conservative patriots that are fighting for people who love Americanism. In Olympia, the liberals hate them, but this is great. I mean, they've got this many people, 46-1. How'd you pull that off in Washington State? You think they would love drones? They can watch everybody. The Spokesman Review in Idaho covered a story. Actually, this was covered in several places. You guys have heard of Senator Russ Fulcher. I've mentioned him before. He's definitely on the Patriots' radar as a very strong contender to unseat the rhino Republican Butch Otter. But we've got a little problem here. I put in a letter to Senator Russ Fulcher's office. I wanted to get you guys to listen to him, listen to his agenda and what he's hoping to accomplish. And I just wanted to get you to know him a little bit better, because he could be the next governor of Idaho. And this pertains to everybody who's living in Idaho and those of you who are planning on moving there. And so you should probably get to know this guy so you can back him, because he is a patriot. However, little cautionary flag just got thrown up. He led the push for Idaho senators to vote against a bill. Okay, in the state of Idaho, Elected officials do not need to have a concealed weapons license to carry a firearm concealed. Well, a bill just went through that would have changed that. This was Bill 514 in Idaho, and it was designed to make it so that they would be required to have a concealed firearms license to carry concealed. Well, that got killed. So they will be able to continue carrying without having to have a concealed weapons license. And Fulcher decried House Bill 514 as political correctness and said, this was put in statute for a reason. I believe it was for a good reason. We do not need to relinquish our privileges. Okay, first of all, carrying a firearm is not a privilege, not even if you're an elected official. It is your God-given right as an American citizen. Let's get that clear. Secondly, if you want to call it a privilege because you don't have to have a concealed weapons license where other Idaho citizens do, then there's a problem there. Because if you feel privileged because you don't have to have a concealed weapons license, then how does a privilege trump a right? How can you demand America or Idaho citizens have a concealed weapons license and you make yourself exempt from the law in that state? Now, I agree, you shouldn't have to have a concealed firearm license, whether you're an elected official or not. Either make it one or both. Either you abide by the same laws that you pass and don't exempt yourself from it, or make it so no one, and that's the way it should be. The Second Amendment of the Constitution is your concealed weapons license, in my humble opinion. Now, I think that they should offer classes, and I think that they should offer a voluntary concealed weapons license. I think it helps you in the courts for litigation, and I think it also helps with other states who have the sovereign right to pass whatever laws they want. If they require a concealed weapons license, then under the reciprocity laws, you'll be able to travel to another state and you have a concealed weapons license and it's honored there. And you're not going to go to jail for defending yourself because you had a concealed weapons license. So if you want to make those available on a volunteer basis for an Idaho citizen who wants them, then great. But there should be no penalty whatsoever for carrying a firearm if you are a free citizen and whether or not you're an elected official. Okay, that's how I feel about that. Let's move along. Also in the American Redoubt, there's a welder, young family man, facing $75,000 per day in fines to the EPA for building a pond on his property. Well, Andy Johnson and his wife built a pond on their 8 acres in Wyoming. He went and got a permit from the state. They said that it meets all the requirements. They approved it. He gets the permit. The EPA wants to come in and say, it doesn't matter what the state says, we have final say. And you'll remove this pond that you busted your butt and worked hard for and built legally according to your state laws. And if you don't remove it, we're going to charge you $75,000 a day. Now, if that's not tyranny, I don't know what it is. What is? And they're saying the reason why is because some of the material that he used to stop up this creek to make this pond is seeping into the water and going downstream. What, some sand? This is tyranny. Well, he says, I'm not moving it. I'm not paying their fines, and I'm not undoing this. What I did was legal. So, another battle. Yeah, another Lexington Green. How many we got going now? Potential. Just the fuse is lit all over this country. People standing their ground. Now, you guys know about this campus carry law in Idaho. Well, you also know that it was passed, overwhelmingly passed. In the state of Idaho, you can now, if you have an enhanced concealed carry permit, you can carry on college campuses. Huge victory. At least a step in the right direction. You shouldn't have to have a concealed weapons license to be able to defend yourself. But we have some hardworking patriot legislators over in the state of Idaho who are trying to gain ground everywhere they can. And they made some headway. Now your daughter going to college can carry with an enhanced firearms license, concealed license. She can defend herself now going from classes at night or leaving classes at night. That's a great thing. Well, there's some people in the state of Idaho who thinks that your daughter should not be able to level the playing field and defend herself if she's assaulted at night leaving classes. They want her defenseless. And they make our naughty list. Thanks for Alex Barron over at the Charles Carroll Society for pulling up the complete list, because I only had a partial list. And so I got this from the Charles Carroll Society site. Priest Lake, Northern Idaho, Representative Eric Anderson from District 1. Priest Lake, maybe it's something in the water there. Representative George Eskridge, District 1. That's Eric Anderson, George Eskridge. Jerome, Representative Maxine Bell. That just sounds like a liberal name. Maxine Bell. District 25, Caldwell Representative Daryl Bolts, B-O-L-Z, District 10. Twin Falls Representative Lance Clow, District 24. Boise Representative Lynn Luker, District 15. If you live in those districts and you are in Idaho, you need to unseat these people. They make our naughty list. They do not believe your daughter should have the right to defend herself if she's assaulted on a college campus. So unseat them. Okay, this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and this is episode 14-10. Upcoming up next is Fox 519 with Eye on the Economy. Stay right there. We got a lot more coming up.
Are we on the precipice of war? Are we getting ready to fall off the financial cliff? Those have been the questions that I've been getting asked all week long. My answer is yes to all. Yes, war is coming, and yes, financial collapse is getting ready to break. This is Sunday, March 16th, 2014, and I am Fox 519 back with you and bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is I Am the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Wow. Welcome back, everyone. Things are a real mess, huh? Well, we have a missing 777 that could be a flying nuke or EMP. And we now have Russia getting ready to kick off World War III, and on top of that, they're trying to collapse the dollar. Something very big is close at hand, my fellow readouters, and I hope you're paying close attention. This week, the alternative economists of the world spoke out about what's coming at us in an article at MarketWatch.com. Well, it wasn't so much an article, but a listing of what the heralds of financial honesty are actually really saying. Here's what they're telling us. Gary Schilling, 42% decline in S&P. In January, Schilling saw S&P 500 operating earnings and the S&P 500 index dropped to 800, a 42% decline. Here's another one. Bill Gross, the credit supernova is dead ahead. In February, Gross warned of a credit supernova. His company PIMCO sees $2 trillion at risk if the Fed's cheap money explodes, bringing down the economy. Nouriel Roubini, global collapse, prepare for the perfect storm. Roubini was on Slate saying sooner or later another ugly fight over debt will take place. If that would happen, it would be enough to stall the global economy and tip it into recession. Investmentnews.com, bond crash coming, tick, tick, boom. Their readers are 90,000 financial investors who really trust iNews' forecast, and iNews projected this morning. Millions of investors have no idea what's about to happen. David Stockman, get out of the market now and hide in cash. Stop the Fed from micromanaging the economy, Stockman said in March. No more cheap money, debt buybacks, investing in private companies. Get out of the market and hide in cash. Charlie Ellis, his advice to long-term investors, don't buy bonds. Ellis said this, the best advice I would give to long-term investors is today, don't buy bonds, and if you own them, move out of them. Finally this, the Federal Reserve Board, unsustainable bubble in stocks and bonds. The Fed's Advisory Council said in May last year, members expressed strong concern over the Fed's low interest rate policies and its bond purchasing program, which they said could trigger unmanageable inflation and an unsustainable bubble. Now, finally, you have Fox 519's take on everything. Get out of the bond market now. If you have any stock that are tied to bonds, liquidate them Monday and revert to cash and hard tangible assets soon. Make sure gold, silver, and, quote, lead, if you know what I mean, plenty of food and fuel are in your plans. These guys I'm quoting are not stupid. These guys know exactly what they're doing and saying, and they know the time of financial collapse is close at hand. You need to make yourself ready, and here's why in this next story. From the Kremlin, if the U.S. tries to hurt Russia's economy, Russia will target the dollar. This week, in retaliation to her president's executive order and the ECB's threatening the use of sanctions against Russia, Alexei Yulakev, Russia's Minister of Economic Development, who was also the former deputy chairman of the Russian Central Bank, was interviewed on The Voice of Russia and said the following about Russia's future of using the dollar as their reserve currency. We need to drop the dollar, sell U.S. treasuries, encourage Russian companies to default on their dollar-denominated debts, and to create an alternative currency system with the BRICS and hydrocarbon producers like Venezuela and Iran. Now, inside sources from the Kremlin were quoted as saying that Yulakev did not speak for the Russian Federation, but he's part of Dmitry Medvedev's cabinet. Of course he was speaking for the Russian Federation. And guess what? Russia has already begun their flight away from the dollar, because as of Friday, there was $104 billion in U.S. treasuries that were sold. That is a massive number. It brought the debt held by the world down to $2.86 trillion. Now, the Russians said it wasn't them, but come on, really? Our president signs an executive order, John Kerry gives Russia until Monday to back off, and $104 billion in treasuries just get sold? Nobody's buying that line of garbage, Russia. And guess what? Did you hear it anywhere in all alternative media? Folks, the warning shots are being fired. The troops are lining up for battle. You've got to pay attention and get ready. You know, as I was writing my notes up earlier for Eye on the Economy tonight, I got a serious case of the shivers thinking about what is going to take place, which leads me to my week's advice for you. This week, you need to get your fuel stores built up. With both events I mentioned earlier, fuel prices could rapidly go up and cause some serious financial harm. Fuel is one of the first items to disappear. So will your cash. I finally liquidated all my bank holdings this week and placed them in hard assets like silver, more ammo, food, and fuel. Lots of fuel. You need to also make sure that any errands involved with services that could be impacted by a severe economic downturn are taken care of this week. Get to the grocery store. Fuel up your cars. Get that tire fixed or the engine fixed by the mechanic. Put up the gates at your property. Get all this taken care of this week. You may not have enough time. Thanks again for listening this week. Sorry I don't have better news for you and I ran a little long. But for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. May God bless and protect you this week.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt, and this is segment two. And this segment is brought to you by AMP 3, the Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project, and they sell medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. They are going to be at a couple of events, and March 23rd, coming up real soon, March 23rd, they will be next weekend in Phoenix, Arizona, and he will be teaching their the suturing class. And boy, I'd be surprised if that wasn't already filled up. But there's another one in the American Redoubt, an event coming up, and that won't be until May 2nd and 3rd. It's going to be a Friday and Saturday event, the Northwest Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Washington, right outside of the Tri-Cities in Central Washington, on the western edges of the American Redoubt. And that is wine country and a major agricultural area. And they have a brand new expo center, and AMP3 will be there, but we will be there as well. Amron.com, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, and Radio Free Redoubt will have a booth at that event. And I will be speaking and giving a class on communications. Actually, this is Prepper Communications 101, and on Saturday, Prepper Communications 201. And then, of course, we'll be able to use that to introduce new people to the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network and the American Preparedness Radio Network, which has merged now under Amron.com. So anyway, lots of cool stuff coming up. And what's really cool is I was looking at the layout and they put us right next to AMP3. So AMP3's booth will be right next to Amron. So we'll try to keep it down and not get too crazy and out of control. But we're going to have a good time. Okay, we are visited this afternoon, this evening, by Shane and Christine Dodge from Port Hill, Idaho, up right next to the Idaho border. And we've been talking about the problem with federal government encroaching on private property, and this is a major issue that several of our elected officials have been battling, the sovereignty of private land ownership and then also state land ownership versus federal lands. Well, right now we're talking about private property and the federal government acting like they own it and completely dismissing the sovereignty of the private landowner. And so we're going to talk about what's going on up on the Idaho-Canadian border, and hopefully we can get some action started on this. And it sounds like it has started, but we want to make sure that it continues. So Shane and Christine, thanks so much for being with us on Radio Free Redoubt.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, now you own, let's get this right, you own property up to approximately 120 acres that borders right up against the Canadian border, correct?
Yes, yeah.
It's about 109.
Okay, 109 acres. And now tell us what you're experiencing up there with the Border Patrol.
You know, when we go out there, we've had instances as well. Just for instance, the one time we went out to set up a blind for hunting, and we had a couple of the Border Patrol come up to us like we was encroaching on their land, and we had a big argument with them over, you know, what they could do and what they can't do, and they just pretty much told us that, hey, they have the right to do anything they want to do, and we tried to talk to them, you know, about it, and it just didn't do any good. So then later on, we went to their supervisor and talked to them, and that really didn't do us any good either. I mean, we just, Christine, do you want to?
Well, what happened, they just, when we were sitting there looking for a place to put the blind, two Border Patrol came up and wanted to know what we were doing, and I just told them, I said, look, I own this property, and you know I own this property. You know, you run license plates and everything else, and I've been here for almost 30 years. And the guy started telling my husband and I both, because we said that, you know, they didn't have the right to treat us this way. And he told us, to both of us, to shut our mouths. And we turned around and told them, you know, you shut your mouths. It got pretty heavy there for a while.
Wow,
I asked them for their badge numbers and their, you know, and their names and everything, because I said, I'm going to your supervisor.
Wow.
And
they literally told you to shut your mouth when you told them this is your property?
Yes. And he told me that he had more rights on that land than I did. And what he was doing was trying to just enforce his authority, you know, to tell me how much rights he had. He could do anything he wanted on that land. They could be on it. They could train dogs. They could do anything they wanted on that land. And because I caught them training their dogs in my forest, and even when I was out there doing farming, they would just come walking across, and I'd have to get off the tractor, go track them down, and say, hey, you know, this is private property. And they would tell me, they said, look, we're Border Patrol. And, you know, I'd say something about the supervisor. They said, go ahead. They ain't going to do nothing. And there's been quite a few of those incidences. And I've asked to work with them. I said, look, you know, I do have high-powered rifles. And I said that if you look on the other side of that forest, I have a 50-gallon drum out there. And I said, you know, so it's to your benefit if you let me know that you're out there, because what if I decide to, you know, sight in my guns or just mess around with my guns? And I said, somebody could get hurt. And he told me, he says, are you threatening me? He says, I'll tell you, if somebody got shot, you're going down. And I just says, you know, I'm not threatening you. Well, but the incident, the houseman was doing the blind, the next day, their supervisor, it was Tucker, that showed up. And I had talked to some people, and they said that Tucker, you know, was raised around here or something, and they said he should be pretty nice. Well, he ended up showing up the next day, and
Did he come out to your place the next day specifically to talk to you about this incident?
Right, because that was us. And so we were all staying there. It was me and my son and my husband and I. And we were talking and everything. And we just explained to him we didn't like how we was treated and we want to hunt. And I said, they ran off all the game. I said, I used to have elk, everything out here. And I said, the game is really getting scarce. I said, because they're always, you know, tracking through everything. Mm. And I don't appreciate it. And I even told him, I said, look, there's a lot of times, you know, I'm down here by myself. I don't have drakes on my, you know, my house and everything. And I said, and I was saying, my big dog, I said, when he starts barking, you know, I usually grab a gun and I go out to see because I have cattle, I have chickens, I have, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, and we've had incidences with the grizzly up there.
Yeah, you got grizzly and cougars, both. You got predators there.
Right.
You got,
and plus wolves and coyotes and everything. And my son, in fact, actually, there was a guy up there that actually did shoot a grizzly bear, and I'm sure everybody's aware of it. And the state stepped in, the federal government, and pressed charges against him. That was a big old deal up here.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're on the endangered list. But anyway, so he looked down and he saw my big dog, and he said, by the way, you know, that dog comes out barking. They've been known to get shot. And I looked at him and I said, you shoot my dog. And I thought, well, I'm not going to...
I'm not going to say the rest of this.
He'll say I'm threatening him, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, my dogs, my animals are my family. And, but anyway, so then he told us he would give us 3 days to hunt. And I thought, how big are you? But I kept thinking, bite your tongue here. So the next thing I know, the
he's
going to
give you 3 days to hunt on your own property.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how arrogant they are.
So,
wow.
Me, after they left, I was hot. My son even kept saying, Mom, calm down. You know, I don't care. I've worked this land, you know, for a lot of years. It's my land, and they haven't put their sweat into it, you know, and just I was really upset. Well, the next thing I know, we go out there the next morning to hunt. And we're having coffee, you know, waiting for the sun to come out. And the next thing I know, there's a knock on the door. I answer the door. It was Border Patrol. And he says, I'm giving you a courtesy call. We're going to be out here all day tromping. I looked at him and I said, wait a minute. I says, you better call Tucker, your supervisor. And he goes, that's funny. He's the one that gave the order.
What? Okay, hold on. Let me get this clear. This guy Tucker comes out and he says, I'll give you 3 days to hunt your own land. I'll keep my guys off so we won't scare off your game.
Right.
And the next day, this guy shows up and says, we're going to be tramping all over your property all day.
Yeah,
there was two carloads of them. We never did see exactly how many there was because we come to town. I didn't want to get in confrontation with the whole bunch of them.
You were mad.
So we come to town, back to town, and we called down to the Border Patrol office and got a hold of Tucker. Well, he said, well, my supervisor wants to talk to you. Can you guys come in and he's going to tell you your rights? And we told him, if that's what you want to do is tell us our rights, we already know our rights.
Yeah.
We want to come and talk to you and get this settled about you guys stomping all over our ground and stuff. And
how we could work it out.
How we could work it out or whatever, you know, get along with them. And so we finally went down and we spent
3 hours.
3 hours in meeting with the supervisor, and we got absolutely nowhere.
It was Tucker's supervisor.
They think that they've got that mentality that they've got more rights than we do on.
Now, do you have a problem with the Border Patrol being on your property at all whatsoever?
No,
that's not the
point. The point is used to be that they were, you know, there was only a few of them up here, and they're real courteous.
They were.
They would come knock on the door and tell you, you know, something, we need to check something out, you know, we're going to be out there or whatever. Get along with the people, and it just got to where they've got a whole bunch of new guys up here and stuff, and they've just decided that they can just do whatever they want.
Yeah, it sounds like there's this shifting taking place, because it's been my understanding that historically they've worked well with the public. I would not have a problem with the Border Patrol coming across my property to patrol the border. That's their job. But I also expect, like you said, courtesy. Let me know. Come and knock on my door. Say, hey, we'd like to be out here for the next, couple days, checking some, checking the fence line. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I won't be shooting that way.
This is what we tried to ask them. We says, if you let us know, I have no problem if you think something's going on. In fact, I've even told them I have a trailer that's in the barn, and it's a pole barn, so you could see, and it's right by the border. And I said that I would even plug in everything. You're welcome. If you think there's something going on, I says you can have coffee. You have the luxuries of a house. It's warm and everything. And I says I'm willing to work with you. I says, not if it's over something like cigarettes or something, but if it's, like the kids, the polygamy, or if it's terrorists, which I've never seen any, and I've been there for a long time, I'm willing to help them out. But when they start treating you that way, just telling, walking right past you and telling you how many days you get to hunt, and that you don't have the rights that they do. They can do anything they want on my land. They have more rights than I do. That does kind of make me mad. In fact, I even mentioned, I says, if you notice, I don't have drapes on my house because I want to see out. I don't have real close neighbors, where they can just peek in the windows. And I says, you got guys out there. What if I'm changing my clothes? And he says, oh, they're professionals. They wouldn't do that. And I says, oh, come on.
The same professionals that threatened to shoot your dog on your own property.
Yeah,
those professionals, yeah.
I don't take it real well. I'm a pretty easy person to work with if you want to work it out. We even told them that, there's a no man's land over there, and all you got to do is walk that, and you can see if there's tracks coming from either way. And I said, you guys can tromp that all day long. I said, but I don't see any reason for you to have to be all over my land and just do what you want, I don't think it's right.
What's the attitude of the sheriff in that area? Because that's a constitutional position, and he would have ultimate authority. Have you contacted the sheriff?
Our sheriff, we've tried to talk to him on other incidences.
Well, that too.
And
yeah, it don't work.
Okay.
Our sheriff doesn't do anything. He's getting ready to retire.
We've had better luck.
He doesn't get involved.
Okay. This story first came to my attention when some redoubters were reporting on a town hall meeting that Congressman Raul Labrador held up there, and all of this came to light, and that you had expressed this concern to him. He seemed greatly concerned over this situation, having learned about it. Tell us about that. What's happened out of that?
We haven't found out yet. We've been in contact with his aides, from down in Boise and up here in Coeur d'Alene, and they're setting up a meeting with the Border Patrol and the citizens up on the border. But they haven't got that done yet.
When's that supposed to take place?
He said maybe in April, but what made me upset is because at the meeting, my husband asked, brought up about the south border, what they were doing on it, and he brought up that he says he was going to have more border brought up here and plus on the south border. And then it was my turn to speak next, and I just said, you're having more people brought up to Bonner's? And I says, that isn't going to go too well. I said, I talked to him, 2 years ago when all this was really getting bad up there, and he was going to do something about it then. And all of a sudden, his time was out. He had to go, but he basically said he would get back with me, and right away. Well, a month went by, and I hadn't heard nothing from him.
No, you so say I him. You're talking about
Raul
Labrador, the congressman. Okay.
Yeah, so then I called the White House, we got his Capitol, and I told somebody there my situation. And I says, I just want him to know that I am going around telling everybody that he hasn't got back with me when people ask. And so I said, this doesn't look good for him. And I, you know, just explained the situation. And the next thing I know, the guy says, well, we'll get right back with you. Well, somebody from Sandpoint, one of his aides, called me. And he says, well, you know, we were going to do it in April. And I says, well, you haven't talked to me. And he goes, well, we just haven't got back with you. And I says, you know, it's been over a month. And he says, well, we're still trying to get it together. He's got that little stuttering. Then the next thing I know, he calls me back about a week or two later and asked me to write out all my complaints and everything that happened. And I says, look, I've already told you, and I told Rob Rule, and I says, and I'm not going to take the time to, because he said what they wanted to do with all that is take it to the Border Patrol. In other words, they're going to get to look at all my, you know, my complaints are, and they're going to be ready for this meeting, and I won't know nothing.
Oh, okay, so what they're saying is now they want you to bring all of your complaints, document that, right, and then present that to, so they can take that to the Border Patrol. So they can.
That's the way I understood it.
Okay, so that way they can formulate a response when they come to this meeting.
That's exactly the way I felt.
And I hope you're not going to do that.
No, I already told him no, and I haven't heard from him since. Okay. And as soon as I said no, he didn't want to talk anymore. Because I says, wait a minute, I still want to know my question. I said, on Labrador putting more border up here, is it something that the border said to him, or does he have, and just going on what they're saying, or does he have proof that there's people coming across the border, terrorists and stuff? Because I haven't heard anything about it, and I've been talking to people around here, and everybody says this is a small town. You can't sneeze without everybody knowing what's going on, and I know up there. Everybody knows what everybody does.
Who's telling you that terrorists are coming across there?
Well,
we're going to check this out first.
He indicated that, Raul Labrador did, and then we've heard that from the Border Patrol, too. I mean, and then not too long ago, I don't know, it's been probably maybe 5-6 weeks, there was an article in our little paper, and I believe it was the head of Homeland Security saying our northern border was really dangerous and we needed to put more Border Patrol on it.
Well, sure.
But I wonder.
So.
But I don't think it is. And nobody else around here does either. And like I said, if they get any arrests, everybody in that little town of Port Hill would know about it.
Right.
You know.
Well, especially.
The border.
We're talking private ground there, that border that goes across there from Port Hill at the river there. Because on the other side of the river going to the west is over towards Washington is all government-owned. There's a little bit of fish and game ground there and rest of it.
Sure.
Forest Service from there over to Washington.
Okay.
Border. And then from down at Port Hill, it goes from Port Hill, and it's only, all of the coal flies, it wouldn't be much more than a mile of private ground, and it goes back into Forest Service. And that's what they're talking. That's where the issue is with everything.
Remember when we was camping on the west side?
Yeah, and then you get up in the mountains over on the west side too, and we were up there hunting
and
moose and getting wood, and we'd been camped there for a couple of weeks in this one spot, pretty close to the Canadian border, and. We woke up in the middle of the night one night, and it was just like daylight, and I could hear a car running, and you couldn't see nothing out there. Somebody was out there, and they had a spotlight on us. And so we didn't know what to do. We didn't want to go out of the day. Anyway, he finally pulled up, and then he took off. Well, the next day we talked to the Border Patrol and told him not to do that no more, you know. But
and the guy, I told him, because you know, my husband almost went out with a gun.
He says if you'd come out with something, you would have just got shot.
What he said was we were instigating.
But they knew, they'd go by there once or twice a day checking the border and
okay.
everything down in.
So as your camp there, they put this spotlight on you. You tell them when you address this the following day, it makes sense. I mean, if I'm in a tent and somebody pulls up with a, you know, they're putting a spotlight on my camp, I'm going to have a gun in my hand. But they're saying
we didn't dare, you know, we didn't know what was going on, and we wasn't ready for something.
Well,
like
I told him, I said, Shane, don't go out there with that gun. You're going to get hurt. I said, something, you know, we're safer right here. You know, because you couldn't see. It was blinding us.
Actually, the one guy that I talked to the next day, it wasn't the guy that did it, I'm sure, but he agreed with us, you know. You have all the right in the world to do something about it, because you never know, you know, especially up in there. There's a lot of drugs and stuff going across the border up there.
Yeah.
That's where they go. It's not on the private ground. It's up there where there's nobody to get into, because
there's
a trail that goes through from Canada, and it's gated, you know.
All right. Well, folks, we're just right at the end of our time, so I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share this with us. And really, I'm going to put this on my list of things to follow up on, and I'd really like to stay in contact with you guys, especially as this develops with the Congressman Raul Labrador. And we want to put the word out to make sure that these guys really, truly follow up with these type of issues. These should be of the highest priority issues for our elected officials. When we have citizens that are being threatened by government agents on their own property, this needs to be confronted, needs to be dealt with at the highest level, and an end needs to be put to that type of thing.
I agree
with you there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We will definitely be keeping in touch.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is the voice of the American Redoubt, Radio Free Redoubt. And we'll be back in just a moment to hold the drawing to give away a Baofeng UV5 dual band ham radio. And then we are going to talk a little bit about the redoubts, the Appalachian Redoubt, the American Redoubt, and more redoubts that will emerge. That and more in just a moment.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Redoubt at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Greetings, patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Attention. 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 Stand by for message. The elevator is at the fourth floor. Again. The elevator is at the fourth floor. End of message.
So good to have all of you with us. It is so great to be surrounded by patriots. I love it. This is segment 3. Don't forget, you can ask questions. You can send in comments, suggestions, recommendations, and encouragement by emailing. You can contact me directly at johnjacob at radiofreeredoubt.com. And of course, if you guys are listening on a CD or something that somebody gave you, or listening on the go, don't forget you can visit us at radiofreeredoubt.com. This segment is sponsored by Katie Armour, and katiearmour.com has all of your tactical armor needs for personal body armor. This is level 3 AR-500 body armor with plate carriers, front, back, curved, side, and they also have the anti-spalling coating. Top of the line stuff. And so check them out by going to katiearmour.com. Amazing product. And can't say enough about those guys. Really good stuff. I mean, all of our sponsors, support them. Appreciate it. Now, this week, we have some nets coming up because we have communications nets, regularly scheduled nets, that happen on the 19th, on the 1st and the 3rd weeks of the month. Wednesday night is digital communications, and Thursday night is voice communications, which happens across the country, and then they break off afterward and go into local nets and take check-ins from people on FRS, CB, MERS, your local 2-meter ham radio nets. And that is the link between hams and non-hams, so the information can flow both ways. So don't forget to check that out on the 19th and 20th, this coming Wednesday and Thursday. And the net word of the week this week is Patriot. Of course, you have to be participating in the net to be able to get the authenticating number that accompanies the net word of the week. And that's how we know for certain that you participated in the nets. And of course, if you can only receive, say, on a scanner or a shortwave radio, you can always report in with the net word of the week and the numerical authenticator that you heard on the air or you received decoded digitally, and email that to amron@radiofreeredoubt.com. More instructions on that over at amron.com. And also, join your local communications Amron net. And if there's not one in your area, then start one. They are popping up all the time, and we are adding those to the directory at amron.com. Really good stuff. Now, for those of you who are newer, we have a PDF that Poly01 Patriot. She's working her butt off on that website. It's just amazing. Thank you so much. She hates attention. She does not like compliments and does not like attention. She's a very behind the scenes but efficient partisan. We have so many partisans that are working behind the scenes making Amron and Radio Free Readout and the American Readout movement go forward. It's just they're just wonderful, wonderful people. But she developed a PDF that you can download from amron.com under the resources tab on how to get started as an Amron operator, because this came up at some of the trainings that are held in by local Amron operators in various different areas. And when people show up, they're like, oh, how do I get started? What do I do first? And this is kind of a checklist guide that would help you before you even show up to your first Amron meeting, if there's one going on in your area, this will really help you as kind of as a primer. So go check that out and follow the instructions on there for new Amron operators. It will help you a lot. Now, you guys know that not necessarily when time changes, but according to our SOI, or signal operating instructions, we change the times and modes on our nets. And I know time already changed last week, but April 1st and what is it, October 1st? Those switch over. So starting after April 1, we will be switching over to 40-meter nets. This coming Wednesday and Thursday will be the last time for probably about 4 months, 5 months, that we'll be on 80-meter nets. 80-meter nets, and then that changes after April 1st to 40-meter nets. And, of course, those are always in Zulu time, and the Zulu time never changes. It's just the local time that might change depending on your daylight savings time. All right, let's get to this drawing. You guys are now. Oh, this was cool. Last week, I want you guys learning how to pay attention. You have to pay attention to little details. All right. We've been experimenting a lot with digital communications. And on Wednesday and Thursday nights, we have digital communications on the local communications, 2 meters. We use a digital mode that's called MT, Mike Tango, 6-3. Now, MT63 is a great digital mode, very robust, and it also has error correction, theoretically. But what I did was I edited a song by Pat Boone, My Country Tis of Thee, and I embedded a digital message using the MT63 mode in that song. Now, how would you know that? Well, because I said so. Last week, I said, this song coming up by Pat Boone, backed up by the MT63 symphony, has a great message in that song. And I said that 2 or 3 times. Well, of all the thousands of listeners, 6 people caught it. 6. If you received that message, you would know what to do. Those 6 people got entered into the raffle for a dual band UV5R ham radio. They didn't have to invest anything except for a few minutes of their time. Now, the audio file is still there. If you go to the highlights and resources posting from last week, episode 14-09, there is a separate audio file. You don't have to listen to the whole podcast because it is embedded at the very end of last week's podcast. It's its own separate audio file. And then if you don't know how to do that, go to amron.com and how to receive digital communications. This was a covert message that was put out there. We're going to be doing more and more training like this to help you develop and hone your skills and give you practical exercises. And we can't do it every time, but we definitely want to reward those who take the effort and make the effort and take the time to do these practical exercises. Like I said, we can't do it every time, but we do want to do this from time to time. So this is really cool. So what we're going to do is this raffle, and there are 6, not very many tickets in there. There are 6 entries. So I'm not going to peek. I don't have to have any special help, volunteers, no partisans coming into the studio to help do this. You stay over there on the control board. Don't need you. I can do this. All right, mix them around, and somebody's going to win this. And I put 5 of my own in there because of all the hard work that I did putting this together. No, that's not true. Okay, I have a ticket in my hand. And the winner is Juliet59er. Codename Juliet59er, you are the winner of a Baofeng UV5R dual band radio. Thank you very much. And it was, you contact us and give us a drop mail that we can safely get this to you at. And we'll cover everything. You just plug and play or program it and start playing, whatever you want to do. Okay, Juliet59er, good job. Thank you. All of you guys who participated and got that. And hopefully the rest of you will pay attention in the future and also have a chance being rewarded for your efforts. Okay, with that, we'll go into segment 4 here in just a second and wrap everything up. So stay tuned and don't touch that mouse.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are use it, use it, use it. This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis. Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cookstove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive, top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now, anything we purchase, we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotihuacan happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the king, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
Okay, we're going to address a listener letter, and kind of I want to start getting you guys engaged in a conversation that's really starting to take off. And of course, only if this applies to you. Some of you, I hear from you all the time. You're moving to the American Redoubt. Here is a listener letter. I'm a new listener. Through the 299 days. Oh, welcome, a 299 days reader. Cool. And I've enjoyed all that I've heard so far. I've bought the SOI. No, actually, you didn't buy the SOI. We don't sell those. But if you make a contribution of at least $1.99 or more, our way of saying thank you is to send you a digital copy of the SOI. But we don't sell them. And he says, I'm working on my ham, tech, and general licenses. I've already have a Yaesu ham radio, as well as CB, FRS, GMRS. Also have some first aid training. We'll be taking trauma training this summer. Good job. This guy is, he's investing in the future. These are great skill sets to have. He's learning right here to shoot, move, communicate, and put bandages on. It's really good. Anyway, he says, my purpose in writing, though, is to request your help. You put tremendous emphasis on moving to the Redoubt in Idaho, and I wish I could. I really love the Northern Tier, having lived and worked there for some time. Okay, before I go on, it's not the Redoubt in Idaho. It's actually the American Redoubt, which is Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Eastern Washington, and Eastern Oregon. But I will say this. Idaho's the hot spot. We ran a poll asking people, where did you move to or where are you planning to move to if you are planning on relocating to the American Redoubt? Based on all your research, what was your top choice? And the number one choice was Idaho, with 52% of the votes going for Idaho. And almost all of those were northern Idaho. Now, the closest second place was Montana at 17% of the votes. So Idaho at 52%, and the number two state choice was 17%, Montana. Isn't that amazing? I didn't even realize that until we did that poll. So yeah, some people are calling it the Redoubt in Idaho, but it's actually the American Redoubt. People are moving all over the place into the American Redoubt. I talked to people who are moving from the Seattle area to move over to the east side of the mountains, north of Spokane, or, you know, down by Pullman, in those areas, just to get away from, because it's so conservative in Eastern Washington, they just want to get away from that Seattle metro area. Okay. However, I just moved to Kentucky from my former Redoubt in North Dakota. I married my high school sweetheart. She lives here. I also feel I am here for God's purpose, not my own. And that's a lot, much longer story. In addition, I doubt seriously if the good folks in Idaho want 10 million people moving in. My request, can there be an uptick in focus on the non-Idaho redoubts and how to found, organize local redoubts and coordinate with neighboring redoubts? All right, these are some great points. Now, first of all, the people in Idaho do not want 10 million people moving there, but they also don't expect 10 million people moving there. I would rather see 1 million people move to the redoubt in whatever state it is, 1 or 2 million people throughout the entire American redoubt who are very strong, God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots, than 10 million just for the sake of numbers. We're going after quality here, not quantity. Okay, but it's also kind of like, you know, a neighborhood barbecue party. You know, you invite 100 people because you know that only 25 will show up. So we're inviting every God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot who has prayerfully made their decision that it's the right thing for them and their family, and nobody can make that decision but you. And you can only trust that that's a wise decision after doing so prayerfully. That's my opinion. I will tell you this, though. We get people who are praying about what to do with their family and what's going on in our country, and they are feeling prompted, strongly urging down in your soul, your spirit. You're just got this stirring, and where these people are saying, I felt drawn here. Something inside of me was saying, I've got to move to Montana. I've got to move to Idaho. I've got to get out of Seattle and get over to Chihuahua. Or, you know, I mean, they're people are moving because of what's happening in our country, and it's creating a stirring in them. But not everybody feels that calling, okay? So I know there are many, many people who are moving to the Appalachian Redoubt. We call it the Redoubt because people are moving there, and it's not a formalized movement, but there is a informal, under-the-surface movement of people that are either moving there, planning on moving there, or planning on going there when everything goes to heck. Okay, so that's why we call it a redoubt. So we place the most emphasis on the American redoubt because, well, of a number of reasons that we've outlined before in the past, and I stand by that. Now, yes, we will talk about it more, and there already is more and more discussion about the Appalachian Redoubt. Now, there is a discussion that's taking place over at Max Velocity's site, and what's interesting is the conversation that flowed after the article below, and there are some people that are saying, and even Max Velocity says that, well, the American Redoubt never put much into it, you know, I think it's a red herring. In other words, saying, I think it's going to just kind of, it's not even really worth talking about. It's kind of a non-issue. All right. But a lot of the readers are saying, well, man, I'm all for, I never cared for the Pacific Northwest Redoubt. For me, it's the Appalachian Redoubt because it's too cold up in the American Redoubt. And then it almost kind of took on a us versus them tone. You know, American Redoubt or Appalachian Redoubt. And so I just want to urge caution here. We are all patriots. Now, when things go down and the tyrant is trying to fervently grab and scratch and claw for all the power and control that he can get, patriots are going to be withdrawing to defensible areas, and they are going to be redoubting. They're going to be drawing back to areas that they can depend on each other. They can lean on each other. They can gather together for strength and make a final stand if they have to. And so there are certain areas regionally that lend themselves more favorably for the tactical situation. And mountainous areas are always a real pain in the butt for the attacker. and they're much more easy to defend. There are pros and cons to that versus, you know, anyway, what I want to do is I want to say this. We have AMRON operators in every state across the country, and we have many in the Appalachians in what we refer to as the Appalachian Redoubt. Now, those Amron operators talk to Amron operators in the American Redoubt. We are in this together. I want you to guard your minds and your hearts against, they're going to try to divide us. Let's not do their job for them. There isn't an American Redoubt versus Appalachian Redoubt. There are patriots in the Appalachians, and there are patriots in the American Redoubt and in other areas in Texas and the Adirondacks up in the Northeast. And these patriots need to communicate and share intelligence and work toward a common goal, and that's defeating the tyrant so that we can one day again live in peace. And we have to work together on this. Now, there are some people in, say, California who are going to the Appalachians. There are people in Virginia who are trying to get to Montana or Idaho. Chuck Baldwin moved from Florida to Kalispell, Montana. But by and large, people are going to gravitate to the one that's geographically closest to them. Most of the people that I hear from that are living east of the Mississippi are planning on moving further into the Appalachian Redoubt. Those who are west of the Mississippi are planning on moving further into the American Redoubt, or at least the mountainous regions, the Rocky Mountains, per se, or getting out of the cities and getting out into the more rural areas of Texas. And so there is a shifting that is taking place right now. So you have to go to where you feel called to, what's right for you and for your family, and all of this, all of us are in this together. And that's the beautiful thing. When we can share information and intelligence, and we already have Amron operators in the Appalachian Redoubt talking to Amron operators in the American Redoubt, this is toward a common cause, defeating the tyrant. So I strongly endorse and promote the Appalachian Redoubt, the Adirondack Redoubt, the Missouri Redoubt, the Ozarks, whatever you want to call it, where patriots are gathering right now and where they plan on making their stand. And your chances are best of doing that when you gather in numbers, wherever that may be. Now, also, wherever you are, it is for God's purpose and not your own. And if you don't make sure that that's the case, you are setting the odds up against yourself. And there are some people that are going to be called to serve their purpose in life. I can imagine why, but if you're in the suburbs of Chicago, or if you're, in New Europe, somewhere around New York or Massachusetts, I'm just glad that that's not my calling. But for some people, they will be used. There will be patriots that will be useful everywhere. Okay, and so the thing is, wherever you are, be worth something. Be worth, have value and contribute no matter where you are. That's what I have to say about that. But we will definitely be talking more about this. How to found, organize local redoubts and coordinate with neighboring redoubts. There isn't a textbook on this. I don't know how to promote. All I know how to do is to get behind the American Redoubt movement and promote it and encourage others to do the same, because I feel like this is my calling. So it's going to take someone who responds to the call down deep in your soul to rise up and say, let's take this from concept to an actual redoubt, a movement, a formalized movement where you're working with leadership, community leaders, business leaders, elected officials, and you're promoting the concept of the Appalachian Redoubt and providing that as an option to get conservative patriots to deliberately, intentionally, and strategically relocate out of areas that are not not going to be favorable for them in a collapse situation. Quite frankly, I think we could be completely out of time. And I don't mean for tonight's show. I mean, I think the next chapter in American history is about to open. And so what more can I say? But we will talk about that more in the future. I appreciate your letter. I appreciate all of you guys' encouragement. And I appreciate all you guys being out there and listening. You're just an amazing group of people, and it's a privilege and an honor to be working with you guys and to be corresponding with you guys. I love it. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up, and you guys just have a blessed week. We will talk again, and we hope to see you during the Amron Nets this Wednesday and Thursday night. You all have a blessed week. And with that, I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.